Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us on a Monday edition. It is episode 155. I look a little blurry on the screen right now, so hopefully that's going to rectify itself. We'll figure it out. I actually probably look better blurry. Thanks for joining us. Episode 155. More on Bryce Huff. And I did a piece on Bryce Huff. I put it out for you. There you go. Let's look a little clearer. I did a piece on Bryce Huff and put it out late last week. If you missed it right when the trade went down, it did something when we were on the road there over the weekend. But I got a little bit more, a little bit more on Bryce Huff, but also on what it means for the 49ers, which is a bigger picture type of an item. Vegas does believe, I was in a conversation with somebody over the weekend, so I got this for you as well. The Giants young starters, bravo to the Giants young starters. But as I put on the show cover today, could a trade be imminent just because they've got to move something and you got to give something to get something? And if you have excess one place and you're short in another, obviously it's the offense that is short and the pitching, the young pitchers that are going to be coveted in what kind of a trade. So who do you protect in this whole situation? We'll get into that conversation as well. Padres are in town. It was wrong about the NBA finals and my conspiracy theory. I will admit up to that. Random things happen throughout the show, and I don't even know if I have a Sweet Clean Family Friendly. I meant to get to one today, and I don't know if I have one, but I will double-check for that. So, good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you so much. Before we say good morning to everybody, thank you so much for joining us on YouTube, especially on John Lund Unleashed. Thanks for joining us there. It is great to have you. Please subscribe on John Lund Unleashed. If you would take a moment to give us a thumbs up as well, it helps the algorithm and to grow the community, which is awesome. So we'd appreciate that. And please have your alerts on because not only do we do the show 8 a.m. ish, which again, I'm thinking about moving this to 9 o'clock, not because I need to sleep in. I get up at like 5:30 every day. Love to get up early and get things going while the house is quiet. But just for purposes of growing the community, possibly having this thing at 9 o'clock, if you're vehemently against that, please let me know. But anyway, that's what we're thinking about doing. So I'll give you a fair warning on that if and when we make that happen, 9 a.m. Pacific time. But we're still kind of contemplating things. But bottom line is this. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, and bonus show on Saturday. We do a little bit later at about 10 o'clock. So join us, please, daily for that, 6 days a week, I should say. And then we send out all sorts of stuff throughout the day, whether they be shorts or videos or highlights or whatever the case may be. So please have those alerts on. Bay Area Sports Collective on the regular now. You're getting Amy G and Rod Brooks and Jeremy Affelt. And, of course, you got the Tom Tolbert Show and Polly and Tony and Polly Max Particles that comes on after me, normally about 11 o'clock. But then on Wednesday, they do night shows. So, anyway, you got to know when those shows are happening. So, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and the Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. Please, if you're watching on X today, welcome. At John Lund Radio. If you're watching on Instagram, welcome at John Lund Radio there. Awesome that you're watching on those platforms. If you'd come over, migrate, and subscribe on YouTube, that would be tremendous as well. And before we get going, you see those pair of legs down there. That is my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle and my wife and I, we were on the plane back. We were in Phoenix for a few days. And she said to me, hey, man, I got to get back to Dr. Riopelle, and she has an appointment on Tuesday. She's feeling great. Like I said, she does the stem cell, elbow, shoulder, not having the ice, foot. And again, we did a lot of walking over the weekend. She mentioned Dr. Riopelle again, like I told you about a month ago we did in Vegas. So if you've got that pain, Dr. Riopelle is the one to see, one of the first to do stem cell in the state of California. Believe me, he is the best. I wouldn't be telling you if he wasn't. My wife has the shoulder, elbow, some foot issues as well, and it feels night and day when she does the regular stem cell treatment. So check it out. If you're in the East Bay, it's a no-brainer. If you're not in the East Bay, I'm telling you, it is worth it to make the drive. If you click on that QR code right there, you can go straight to the website and check everything out for yourself. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, if you don't get to that QR code, all you got to do, use your favorite search engine, Google it, whatever. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O. Riopelle. Again, Riopelle is spelled R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, Riopelle Sports Medicine, but they do so many other things beyond that for you, your significant other. So check out Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle for all the things he does, including my low T treatments, which again, I just had another one, so I'm up to date on everything. But you do a quick blood test, you do a quick procedure, and you're good for like 4 months on that stuff. And you're going to feel better, more energetic, more like yourself. I swear by it. I've been doing it for years. I've been doing it with Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle for about 2 years, and it's just going amazing because I don't have to do the shots every week. So that is Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. Thanks to the fine sponsor of the program, and make sure that you tell him that I sent you over. All right, before we get to things today, and I got a ton for you today, just a ton of good stuff. Jake is here this morning. Hey, Skills, it's good to talk to you. I missed people over the weekend. Did not do a Saturday show. I apologize. Hurley James, Humboldt Fats is here. Catalina is here, which is nice. Kenny, it's great to see you. Vernon, the 1420, Taylor, and lots of people in the room today. So again, if you're wondering what I'm doing here, it's a lot of people in the chat room and a lot of great people that have become a great part of the community, and we'd love to have you be a part of it as well. All right, let's get to things. 49ers Huff signing. If you missed what I did over the weekend, all you got to do is go into the page, and you can see the Bryce Huff thing I did. And it's kind of a quick breakdown, and it's got some stats. But I just wanted to do a few things on what the signing means. So let me just go back real quick on the signing itself, all right? So you can see the guy. I'll just play a little bit of these stats for you. As you can see right here, speed. He's 47. There it is right there. And you can just see him, and you're talking about a mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts right there. Boom, he's a speed guy. There's a problem as far as setting the edge, but I'm going to tell you how they're going to use him in just a second. But you can see right there again, athletic quarterback in Tyrod Taylor, athletic quarterback in Justin Herbert. No problem tracking him down. You can see right off the edge there, they had a tight end on him and let him go. It's like, what are you doing? The guy's a speed guy right here, just pure speed. The tackle's like, what? What happened? He just got on him so fast that the tackle didn't even really have time to make a move there. So he just, boom, uses his hands. Really good with his hands. You can tell in just looking at him, just pure speed guy. Now, this I didn't show you the Eagles highlights because there weren't a lot of Eagles highlights to show. This is from 2023 where Bryce Huff had 10 sacks for the Jets playing for Robert Saleh. Watch this one. Just right by the tackle. Just too much speed. So those are just some quick highlights. I'll just show you one time. Look at just, I mean, the tackle can't even get set. So he's a speed guy. He's a third down, I think, right now, because, with too many numbers, the eyes go back in my head as far as the financial side of it. Some people love it. I'm not paying the bills. So the reality of it is today, it being June 2nd, Javon Hargrave goes off. A couple other contracts go off. Bryce Huff that trade's going to be official here probably today. And so they save about $6 million. They had about $7.5 million with Bryce Huff. He redid his deal to get traded with the Eagles. So it's not a lot of money this year for the 49ers. So the way that it's going to be, I think, for Bryce Huff is he's not an edge setter. Mikel Williams, their first-round pick out of Georgia, the 49ers, his best skill right now, they hope to make him into a great pass rusher, but his best skill right now is setting the edge. So a logic just tells you Mikel Williams is going to start. Then what they're going to try to do in a NASCAR package in a perfect world for the 49ers is Williams is big enough to play over a guard on passing downs. So on passing downs, to build that NASCAR package, what you do is you bring Mikel Williams, who's going to start inside. You put Bryce Huff on the outside. He and Bosa are going to rush from that. I'm trying to make it as wide as possible. That wide nine into the quarterback. Plus you got Mikel Williams, and who is ever going to be the best pass rusher amongst the defensive tackle group. And again, West and Collins are going to be guys that are going to be run stuffers. So I don't know if that's a Givens or whomever the case may be who can push that pocket a little bit. And that's going to be the pass rushing package for the 49ers. So I think he's a pure third down guy. He's not an edge setter. But when he played with Robert Saleh in 2023 with the 10 sacks, it's not only the sacks. It's you get a little bit deeper into the numbers. 21.8% was his pressure rate, which was number one in the NFL. So what you try to do with players is everyone says, well, this is what he can't do. I don't care what professional sport it is. What can he do? What can he do? What can he can't do? What doesn't he do well? Okay, don't do that. You know, the Giants for a while there, when they got the pitchers, they got Kevin Gausman, they got Rodon, they got guys like that. They just said, do what you do well, and those guys would thrive under those conditions. It's the same thing here. They're not asking Bryce Huff to be an edge setter. They're not, Bryce Huff is not going to be a starter in my estimation unless Mikel Williams just can't handle the job. But in a perfect world, Mikel Williams is an edge setter, is learning to be a pass rusher. You've already got a guy who's a pass rusher, not an edge setter. So that's what you do in passing downs, and Bryce Huff plays in those situations. Why didn't it work out in Philadelphia for the 1 year? Signed a big contract with Philly. Hassan Reddick, remember, went from the Eagles to the Jets, separate deal. Huff signs a big contract after getting those 10 sacks with Philadelphia, and he just wasn't very good. Remember, Vic Fangio runs a totally different system. So here's Brandon Graham. I think he was on Ross Tucker's podcast. And Brandon Graham, longtime Eagle, saw Bryce Huff last year. Here's what Brandon Graham said of why it didn't work in Philadelphia for new 49er Bryce Huff.
Like planning that 4-3, wide nine, go get it. Every play, it's always stop the run on the way to the quarterback. That's the slogan and that type of defense. So that's what it's all. I feel like it's all scheme. I mean, I've seen different guys flourish in different systems, and then you see them get in another system, it's different. And what they asked of them this year, it just wasn't a great marriage, I would say, because I know Huff can rush. I see him doing all that, but sometimes it's just different with the type of scheme and what people ask of you and they want you to be able to do. And maybe it just wasn't that for Vic Fangio, or I mean you don't really know. I mean, I just know that he was a baller, man, and hopefully for him I want it to be a win.
All right, so he's saying it's a win-win. He's obviously, you know, he's a Philly guy, so he wants Philly to win on the trade, wants Bryce Huff to win on the trade. And again, it's just a matter of what do you expect out of him. I expect him to be a third down pass rush specialist. That's expensive. And I expect Mikel Williams to be the edge center on first down, learn to be a pass rusher in time. But I said this before, and this is why I think it's a great move. Mikel Williams is 20. Mikel Williams played the least amount of edge snaps of any edge rusher in the draft. So young guy, didn't play the snaps. Think about when we talk about quarterbacks who are young, it's how many starts they have. And when they come into the league, they struggle if they don't have enough starts. Well, it's in every position. So he just doesn't have that much experience. So to expect him to come in and be the edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa that they need him to be, that's probably unrealistic. But his skill set is at about 6'5", 265, big, long dude, that he can eventually be that, but he can certainly set an edge right now. He did a good job of that at Georgia. So let's put him again in a strength position, and let's bring in Bryce Huff in a strength position, which is you just go get the quarterback like Brandon Graham just said. And that's not what happened in Philadelphia under Vic Fangio. So does it mean that he's not a good player? No, you put these players in the situations in that which they work best. Here's another cut. You might've seen this by now, Robert Saleh. So this was last off season, Saleh still had a job as the head coach of the Jets, and Bryce Huff had signed with the Eagles, and Jets and the Eagles reporters are asking Robert Saleh about Huff.
Elite pass rusher, closes games. You know, he's people want to say that all he does is rush the passer, but Omarion Rivera did his close ninth innings, so he's a pretty darn good pass rusher, and he's going to be great for Philadelphia.
Why didn't he get? All right, he wasn't great for Philadelphia, but what he's saying is 100% right. I don't know that I'm going to say he's Mariano Rivera. He said all Mariano Rivera did was close games for the Yankees, and that was pretty good, and he did it with one pitch. It's similar in that Bryce Huff is kind of a one-trick pony. He is a third-down speed guy. That's what he is. He's a speed guy, and that's okay. And whether they're paying him, you know, I think the number is after the roster, after the contract renegotiation, they got him to San Francisco because he had to move his number down. I think it's 7.95 that they're paying him this year, which to the people who said that the Niners didn't want to win, that's pretty big money for a third down pass rush specialist, which this guy's going to be, but that's kind of important. And one of the reasons it's important, just beyond the fact that he's going to put pressure on the quarterback, the secondary, which I'm afraid of, I'm waiting for more moves because they've got still money under the cap. They're, like I said, their Hargrave is gone now. Collins' contract is gone now, and so they bring in this money, and it's almost a swap straight up, so they still have money to spend. Can they still go out and get a safety? We talked about this on Friday and Saturday. I think Jair Brown had surgery. Malik Mustafa's got a bad knee. Lenore's going to be an outside-only corner. Renardo Green's got to step up to another level. Upton Stout's a third-round pick that's got to take that tough nickel spot, interior corner spot, inside corner spot. So if you've got a pass rusher, that's going to make your secondary that much better. You know that. So that's why it's a huge signing, is because you're looking at Mikel Williams going, okay, nice player, but it's going to take a minute. He's 20 with not a lot of snaps. Let's get a guy who can be a specialty pass rusher. Williams is big enough to move inside on third downs. That makes our secondary better. They have to cover for less time, and I think that's a big thing. One other thing about the defense that I'll say, getting a lot of buzz about Nick Martin during these OTAs. Look, no pads on, running around. What that's going to do is Martin's a – I don't even know if he's 220 pounds. Like I said, I saw him. He's not a big guy. He's very athletic, very fast. So who's going to look good being an athletic, fast guy? Well, guys just running around in shorts, right? Now, when they put the pads on, and that's where I think the problems come, is here comes a guard shooting out at 220-pound Nick Martin. Can the big boys that they just got inside on, you know, on draft day, can those two big boys keep the guards, the big guys, off the linebacker so that they can flow? That's one of the keys to the defense. But anyway, the last thing I'll say about this, and then I'll get into this Vegas Beliefs thing on the chalkboard, is the sign that it sends. So all the people who said in the offseason, there was local guys who said this, who should know better, that the 49ers weren't trying to win, it was laughable. And I kept telling you, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. They were just saying, we feel like these players that we're letting go, their football, either their best football's behind them, in the case of Deebo Samuel, or they're injured too much for us, in the case of a Hufanga or a Hargrave, or a, you know, we're spending money in the wrong places. So we're just going to take those guys, and people looked at that and said, well, they're rebuilding. Or they're retooling. Well, I guess you could call it retooling, but it's certainly not rebuilding. When you sign Warner, when you sign Kittle, when you sign Purdy, when you're going to spend $7.95 million on a pretty much a third down pass rushing specialist. And I shouldn't say third down. It's just everybody passes all the time. So, you know, he's going to be in there. Like I said, he's not a great edge rusher. And I just showed you the highlights of it. The guy just flies off the edge. And what that does is, it's okay if he can – it's going to be like this. They're going to double Nick Bosa all the time. So anybody who tells you anything different, they're going to say, look, we're going to dictate how we're going to get beat. And it's not going to be by Nick Bosa. So the person opposite him, or the people opposite him on that defensive line, are like, okay, we're going to have to win one-on-one matchups. And they couldn't do it enough opposite him. And they couldn't do it enough inside. So hopefully their new philosophy, I think, inside is, we're going to take these big boys that are just going to push the pocket. I don't know that they're necessarily going to get, you know, 6, 8, 10 sacks like they thought with Hargrave. Hargrave was a penetrator. They've just decided, you know what, we're going to build a wall up front, and then we're going to have these guys come from the edge, screaming off the edge, and we're going to get to quarterbacks. And they're going to have to step up into a pocket that doesn't exist, because these two big guys are going to create a wall right there, and it's not moving. So where the hell does the quarterback go? Into the arms of the guys who can get to the quarterback. So they've revamped this entire defensive line. Now, to me, defensively, if they want to be done at linebacker, I'm a little nervous, but okay. But the secondary can't be done. You know, whether it's a corner, whether it's a veteran safety, something like that, I don't think they can be done on that side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball, people want to talk about wide receiver and Amari Cooper or something like that. If somebody came down in their number, you know, it's like anything. It's a house. It's a car. That's not worth that. It's not worth that. It's not worth that. Okay, it's worth that. I'll buy it. You know, that's probably what kind of shopping that the 49ers will do at this point, which is, if there's a safety that fits, and I keep bringing up guys like Julian Blackman and you know, Justin Simmons. And in Simmons' case, I don't know how much he has left. Blackman's a young guy. He's 27, 28 years old. He's fine. Same thing with Amari Cooper. I'm not enamored with Amari Cooper at a certain number, but if it gets to such a low number that it's kind of ridiculous not to sign him, what would be the harm in it? He's not the guy that, you know, is in the prime of his career, but certainly if you look at, we talked about this late last week, if you look at the wide receivers that were running around at camp, you know, DeMarcus Robinson and Jennings and Cowing, those were the starters. That's not good enough. That's, even with Kittle and McCaffrey, that's not good enough to stretch the field and to scare defenses. So yeah, would Amari help until Ayuk comes back? Yeah. And I'm not down on Pearsall. It's not that. It's just the ominous signs that we saw in 2024. And we said, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And then it wasn't. And we knew it wasn't going to be, but we tried to fool ourselves into thinking it was. That's what Pearsall is like. I don't want to say, because as Eric Branch pointed out late last week, well, he hasn't missed an NFL or college game based on a football injury. Missed the games last year at the beginning of the year because of a gunshot wound. That's different. So I'm not going to be down on the guy, but he had a hamstring injury last year, had an ankle injury last year. This year he's got another hamstring. It's like, and he's out until camp. till training camp, which means he's not throwing with Brock. He's not, they're not getting their timing down. It's just, I hate the sign. Maybe it means nothing and I'm overreacting. Maybe it means something because I'm not going to call him injury prone because he's not injury prone. He's proven actually that he's not, but it's like, oh man, you need that time. You do. So we'll keep an eye on that, but I don't think they're done. My point is, I don't think they're done. And the sign that it sends, I say 49ers Huff sign. I don't mean him signing. What I mean is the 49ers aren't backing off anything. They just decided guys were either too expensive or too old, and they were going to sign those guys. And I think they're right. I think that Deebo Samuel, when, you know, all the hype and because of the name and everything like that, and everybody was all excited about Washington, and we'll see. Sometimes a quarterback in his second year takes a step back. C.J. Stroud did, because teams are going to start going, okay, this is what you do. We're going to force you to do something else. So Jaden Daniels is a great talent, and people are putting him in, you know, top 10s, top 5s as far as quarterbacks are concerned. That's way too early. That's way too early, because they're going to adjust to him, and they're going to make him do things he doesn't want to do. And then everybody thinks, well, they're better offensively. They have Deebo Samuel. We'll see. I think Deebo's best football is behind him, but that's the whole debate about him. So anyway, there you go. The Huff sign. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I saw this morning because with a lot of people nationally saying, well, you know, the 49ers aren't there. The 49ers aren't in this window. Well, what I like to look at a lot of times is, and I don't care about player props. I think one of the dumbest things, I told you this, it's kind of clickbait candy porn, which is this stuff is like, where's this player going to play? And you see all this stuff where people will tweet out, oh, the odds say so-and-so player is going to come to this team, right? Hang on one sec. And that's kind of silly stuff. But when it comes down to odds and futures and games and things like that, Vegas doesn't screw around. They're not going to give great odds on a team if they don't believe it and vice versa. So if you look at the NFC right now, the Niners are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to win the NFC. And if I were nitpicking here, I'd put them ahead of the Packers. The Commanders, I think, are in for I'm not going to call it a fall, but I think it's going to be an adjustment. I don't think they're going to be better than the 49ers. It's one thing coming from nowhere. It's another thing when people expect it from you. And like I said, I like Jaden Daniels. I think he's a really great player. And I think he's going to be a great player in this league. But it's going to be tougher in year two. It just always is. And C.J. Stroud's a perfect example. He took the NFL by storm as a rookie. Second year, kind of leveled out a little bit. Now, what is he in the third year? That's what we'll find out. But we'll see with Jaden Daniels. We'll see with Washington. They've got a good base. Great job last year. But we'll see what Washington is. I'd put the 49ers ahead of the Packers and the Commanders. Now, I might put the Rams ahead of the Niners. The Bears are a really interesting team. I told you I think Seattle's better than what their numbers are. But the bottom line is this. The Vegas odds, and everybody can talk trash. I'm very fond of this. Everyone can talk trash until there's money on the line. Oh, my team this and this player that. And oh, really? Want to bet $100 on it? I don't know about that. You know, that's different. When people talk trash and say their team is great, but then when it's time to put their hard-earned cash on the line, that's when you find out what really anybody thinks about anything when it comes to sports. So to me, I mean, you look at that, and the Vegas is basically saying, hey, they're the fifth best odds ahead of the Rams, ahead of the Vikings, who were so good last year, but they don't maybe believe in J.J. McCarthy quite yet, ahead of the Bears, who had that great offseason. So it's interesting to me. The Eagles and the Lions are clearly the best two teams. I'd probably put the Rams up there as well, but I don't think the Packers and I'll see on Washington. We'll reserve judgment on Washington, but we'll see. When a team jumps out of nowhere, a lot of times they kind of level out a little bit, so we'll see. But those are the NFC odds. And so Vegas isn't off the 49ers. And then these are the – let's see. These are the Super Bowl odds. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th best Super Bowl odds, according to Vegas, at this point. And again, I definitely put the Eagles, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Lions absolutely ahead of them. Commanders, not so much. Bengals didn't even make the playoffs. I'd put the Rams ahead of them. Probably. I think the Rams are underrated there. So anyway, point being in all of that discussion is, and I put on the board today, Vegas believes you can talk trash, and all of those, you know, talking head morning shows can say this or that, and certain media members can say that the 49ers are rebuilding, retooling, whatever. But you know what? When the money's on, and that's what I look at, when somebody's going to throw money on the line, Vegas isn't going to give you real long odds on the 49ers. They don't want to get burned by the 49ers. That's what it comes down to, is let's not expose ourselves too much. And so what the odds makers in Vegas are saying is, you think you're going to get long odds on Kyle Shanahan? You think I'm giving you long odds on Christian McCaffrey, on Fred Warner, on Nick Bosa, on all the talent that's on that team? Whoa, 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 whoa. No. Not giving you long odds on that. What, are you kidding? I mean, Vegas would be flooded with 49ers bets. So that's the whole point, is that they're saying, okay, maybe they're not at the top. They're not the Lions, they're not the Eagles, and I think we would all agree on that. But they're also saying, we're not giving you long odds on these guys. We don't think they're out of a window. That tells you that right there. Would that have happened before the Warner, Kittle, and Purdy signings? No. But everyone's going, oh, okay, they're not trying to retool. They're not trying to rebuild. They're actually trying to win. They just spent $7.95 million on an edge rusher third down specialist. He's not going to be a starting edge guy unless there's an injury, but he's not an edge setter. He's a third down speed, screaming off the edge, wide nine kind of a guy. And there's definitely a chance being taken by the 49ers, but probably in this defense, because he showed it with the Jets, he's capable of 10 sacks. He's not capable, I don't think, of being a, you know, 50, 60 snap guy, which is what Nick Bosa is, you know, playing 75 to 80, 85% of the snaps. But on those key downs, Robert Saleh, you just heard, called him a finisher, like a Mariano Rivera kind of a finisher. Last drive of the game, remember? You know, 49ers couldn't get the Chiefs off the field in a couple of Super Bowls. They needed a finisher. Nick Bosa's being double teamed, held, strangled. Who else you got? Well, maybe this guy. So anyway, I went a long time on him. 26 minutes. And like I said, I've still got a Bryce Huff that I did. I put highlights and all kinds of stuff in there. Everybody loves highlights, right? So, I mean, you know, right off the edge, fast speed down. So anyway, I've got a whole thing of that. If you go to johnlundunleashed.com and you can check that out. So episode 155. Vegas Huff sign, not that they signed him, they traded for him, but I'm saying it's a great sign for the 49ers that they're trying to win, that they are all in, that they are the 49ers, which some people doubted in the offseason. Vegas believes when it comes down to your money, that's what happens. All right, put down your money. That's what will tell you what someone really believes about your team. Whoa, you're talking all sorts of trash. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. You know, if they don't, you know, people say that all the time. Oh, they're going to do this or what? Like, you put $100 down. Let me see. Put $1,000 down. Let me see what you really believe. Because that's where the rubber hits the road. People will talk trash about their teams. The talking head shows during the day will say this, that, and the other about somebody. Okay. Put $100 on it. Put $1,000 on it. Oh, okay. You won't? You obviously don't believe in what you just said. All right. Let's get to the let me flip to the Giants in just a second here. But let me make sure that we're done with 49ers talk, at least for now. And we can always go back to it, but I want to get to the Giants young starters and what we saw for the weekend. I would agree with you, Joy. I don't like when my team is talked about. I've said that on many occasions. I would much rather have nobody talking about my team. But you know what? With the 49ers schedule and, you know, the way things are, I'm sure that they'll be underrated. I don't need the talking heads to be talking about my team. I'm not that way. Like, talk nice about me. Who cares? None of that matters. We're not in college football. It's not perception. You know, the part of the problem, and I love college football. I watch it every Saturday. My wife's like, oh, no, it's fall. Saturdays and Sundays, gone. But you have to have – it's a beauty contest to a certain extent. And in the NFL, it's not. There are standings. It's wins. It's losses. It's not perception. There's no rankings. Even though people are like, here's my top 10 power rankings. Who cares? I don't care about your power rankings. It's so stupid. Like, they play on the field. You don't need to have rankings. College football, it's got to be pretty. And you got to beat Louisiana Tech 54-3, and it's, you know, all these kind of things. Ooh, they're really good. They just won 54-3. Let me rank them fifth. You know, that's college football. It's stupid. But in professional football, it's decided. So I don't care what your power ranking is. I don't care if you talk about me. I don't care if you talk negative about me. All of a sudden, the Niners, you know, win 12 games. It's like, who cares? Nobody cares. It's just about winning. All right, let's get to the Giants young starters. And I put this on the board today, Giants trade imminent. You see three on the right below me there. You see a picture of Hayden Birdsong, who was great yesterday. You see a picture of Kyle Harrison in the orange in the middle, and he was great on Friday. And you see Landon Roop, who had a really good May and was up and down at times, there's no doubt. But Landon Roop is solid. He's got a nice arsenal of pitches, and I look at those three guys, I'm like, damn, one of them's probably got to go, unfortunately. I wouldn't want to trade one of these guys, but let's just start looking at logic here. We always talk about Logan Webb. He ain't going anywhere. He's your number one starter. Robbie Ray, I'm giving my friends grief in Seattle every single week about the Haniger-Ray trade. Awesome. He's your two starter. Hayden Birdsong is clearly showing that he's a number three. The more he pitches in the starting rotation, the more comfortable he's going to get. By the end, if they just don't touch him and don't screw around with him and don't jerk him around and just say, you're our three, go out there and pitch. Don't care, just go out there and pitch. Then he's going to be a number three, and he's going to be really, really good. I would not move him because his upside is so great, and now we get into some interesting conversations. Kyle Harrison was great Friday. You look at players' stocks. His stock is high right now. It was low coming out of spring training. It was sick, all those different things. But if I'm a team looking at the Giants, I'm going, can I get Kyle Harrison, and can I get the guy that pitched on Friday night? Landon Roop, to me, is a nice player, but he's always going to be a back-of-the-rotation fringe player. But I could be wrong. Justin Verlander is going to miss another start. I told you that was going to happen. They weren't going to just have him miss one start. So Verlander is going to miss another start. And that gives you a chance to look at these young pitchers. And then they've got two or three or four pitchers in their minor league system that they really, really like. I would have liked to have seen Carson Wisenhunt come up after he was pitcher of the week in the PCL. I would have liked to have seen the Giants, and I told you why. You reward a guy, and then he comes up, and maybe he pitches great, and he stays. Maybe he pitches poorly and sees, okay, this is what I need to work on in the minor leagues. I just think that would have been a great reward for him and an ability for the Giants to see him and him to see the majors and all those different things. They didn't do it. Fine. They brought up, they brought up a guy that they've seen before, and that's fine. I'm not mad about the whole thing, but I would have liked to have seen Wisenhunt up, but whatever, they did what they did. But my point is this, is that you've got, I want to throw Birdsong aside, not call him untouchable depending on who you want to give me, but Birdsong I think is your three. So you have Harrison, you have Roop, you have some young guys in the minors, and you have a screaming need for offense. They went 4-5 on this road trip, and they've gone 14 consecutive games without scoring four or more. And I've showed you this before. Let me just show you something here with the Giants and let me share my screen with you, which is what we've established many times is scary to do. But I think this is what I need to show you. Let me see. Hold on a minute. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Let me make this a little larger just so I can see it. So if you look at May here, at the top there, obviously, is your starters. So they go from 9-9 with a 4.40 ERA, which was 21st in starting pitching, to May. Look at the record, though. They were just 9-11. They had a 2.77 ERA, which was second in baseball for their starters in May. 9-11, but they were 2.77 with the second best ERA in baseball with 146 strikeouts and 40 walks. My God, man. And then the bullpen, which is the best in baseball, 4-3, 2.43, which is second in baseball. So they had a 2.43 ERA in the bullpen second. They had a 2.77 ERA with the starting rotation second. And yet in the month, they went 13-14. How could that possibly happen? Well, because the hitting is that bad. So let me scroll through this a little bit for you because this is fun. So I tell you this all the time. Let me make this a little bit bigger again. Scored three or fewer on the year, 10-18. Scored four or more, 22-8. If they score five, you can't beat them just about. They're 18-2. So, but that becomes the problem is 28 times already this year, they've scored three or fewer. And when they score four or more, and I've told you this a million times, that is a magic number. They're 22-8. But on this road trip, they went 4-5. Despite this great pitching, despite the second best starter ERA in May, despite the second best bullpen ERA in May, despite the best ERA, period, the Giants in their last road trip went 4-5, and in the month of May went 13-14. They can't hit. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But my point is in saying Giants young starters and saying Giants trade eminent on the cover of the show today is, if I'm Buster Posey and I'm sitting in that, John Shea did that great piece on that big suite that they sit in for all the games and they blew out a wall and everybody's in there, sitting around going, okay, it's June 2nd. I get it. We're still 6 or 7 weeks away from the trade deadline. But as this team goes 13-14 in a month, I've got to get serious here. I'm looking at myself going, okay, wait a minute. I have three young, talented starters that I'm sure everybody's calling about. I'm not trading Hayden Birdsong. I would consider Kyle Harrison, as great as he was Friday. That's great because that's great for his value. Landon Roop's a really nice player. At some point, I'm going to get Justin Verlander back, and he's going to go into the rotation. I'm not going to release him. Probably not going to trade a 42-year-old Justin Verlander because I probably can't get much back. So Verlander's not going to be on the trade block. But I've got excess pitching, and I still have good pitching in the minors. And again, depending on who it would be, might trade one of these guys. But I've got two or three major league starters in the rotation. And I may have one or two of those guys who might be, you know, ones and twos. Maybe not one, but, you know, upper part of the rotation starters. So I'm looking at this, and I keep looking at the Brewers, and it's pissing me off. Because the Brewers keep winning. The Brewers have won. The Brewers are 34-28, and they've won seven in a row. The minute I started, well, they just got to start losing a little bit, and then they can maybe pry Reese Hoskins away. That's not happening. They've won seven in a row, and they're 34-28. So Milwaukee is not going anywhere, and they're looking at their team going, well, Reese Hoskins isn't going anywhere. So that's what's really tough, and we've talked about it a million times. It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's great, especially given that the Dodgers always win the division, that there's three wildcard teams, so it gives the Giants an opportunity to get in. But that same opportunity is no one thinks they're out of it. So if you want to trade with Colorado, great. If you want to trade with the White Sox, great. I mean, I'm going a little overboard here, but those, like, there's not many teams that are out of it. Even teams that are hovering around 500 right now are going, well, it's too early. I mean, we're a third of the way plus into the season, and teams are going, well, we're not out of it, so we're not trading you anybody right now. And if we would trade you somebody right now because we might be teetering, then it's going to cost a bunch of money. Like I said, Nathaniel Lowe's a guy that's on Washington. Washington's not going anywhere. Had a good year last year. Is that a great bat? Is that going to solve everything? No, but again, for Lamont Wade Jr. lovers who continue to say, well, he's coming out of it. Well, he didn't come out of it from what I saw this weekend. So, you know, they're going to play this game. And I told you this, they're going to try everything internally. Encarnacion is, they're going to have to do something today because Encarnacion is ready to play. So does that mean Casey Schmidt? Does that mean, you know, who does that mean Lamont Wade Jr.? I'd be shocked. People have hit me up on social media. Do you think Lamont Wade Jr. is going to go? I would. I mean, it's so deep into the season, and he's been so inept that would be a guy that I'd send out. I'd rather go with the young guys. I'd rather go with the unknown than the known, because Lamont Wade Jr., even at his best, he gets on base. That's not bad. He gets on base. But I need a power guy at first base. And I saw what Buster Posey said last week, and we talked about it late last week, which is, you know, Bryce Eldridge is encouraging, but he's not ready defensively. So could he be a DH option late in the season? Maybe. But then Wilmer Flores has got to play every day. Does that hurt his bat that he's in the lineup? He's better as a DH. Like, I wouldn't screw with Wilmer Flores, to be honest. Just the very fact that he's off to the start. No, it's not even a start. That he's doing what he's doing, and now he's got to grab a first baseman's glove every day. I don't want to rock the boat in any way, shape, or form of the way he's hitting. So what they're really looking for, to be honest, I mean, could they play that shell game in which they've got a guy at DH and Wilmer plays a little bit more first? But yeah, they could. They could. But I think that if all things were perfect for the Giants, they'd say, we're going to replace a first baseman, and Wilmer's going to stay where he's going to stay for the most part. Like, could he play some first base? Sure, but they've been doing that this year. But they'd rather have him just be their DH and get big hits like he's done most of the year. So we'll see with Encarnacion what that's going to bring and who's going to be off the roster and all those kind of things. But inevitably, and that's why I say Giants trade imminent. Now, when I say imminent, that could be today, tomorrow, or it could be by the deadline. But if I'm a team right now and I'm going like this, or I don't think that I'm a contender, and I'm looking at the Giants going, okay, they clearly need a first baseman. I mean, seriously, the Giants might need a first baseman more than anybody else needs anything at the deadline. You know, we need a closer. We need a pen piece. We need an outfielder. We need a this. We need a that. Of the contenders, I should say, I don't know that a team needs a certain position more than the Giants need a first baseman. They've got to figure it out. That's just what it comes down to, is this staff. And I feel like, you know, Seattle had the best starting pitching in baseball last year and didn't make the playoffs. This is becoming kind of like that. The starting pitching had a 2.77 ERA in May. the bullpen is nails. You have the best combination of starting and relief in baseball. And yet you went 13 and 14 in May. The staff can't do anything. It can't do anymore. The pitching staff, both starting and relieving, can't do anymore. They can't just be like, here, get us something. And the staff knows, both starting and relieving staff knows that, like, if we give up anything, we could lose. Like, I could pitch this great game, and if I slip up one time, we could lose. And there's not the guys like Logan Webb, there's enough veterans in there that there's not going to be this divide between offense and defense like there sometimes is in an NFL locker room where it's like the defense is carrying the offense or vice versa. Like, guys, we're doing everything. But I'm sure at some point throughout a season where it's like, what else do we got to do, man? Pitchers are sitting over here in the clubhouse going, the hell, bro? Like, we're doing everything. Get us four stinking runs. Four? They're 22-8 when they score four. Like, we will take care of our side of it. You got to score some runs for us. And like I said, they're going to have to make some decisions where it's like, look, Willie Adames isn't going anywhere. Chapman's not going anywhere. I don't see, because of organizational lack thereof depth, could you upgrade at second base? I mean, I think that if it's not a position, like all three outfields, well, no, they're not. Left and center are set. Right, you can get an upgrade. First base, you can get an upgrade. I like Fitzgerald a lot, but he's not hitting with the power, so second base could be an upgrade. I talked about Alex Bregman in the offseason. He's hurt now with Boston, but still, they could have used another veteran. So, look, catcher, he said that they're staying with Bailey for the foreseeable future, so they've got to do something. They've got to do something to generate some offense because right now they're wasting great pitching. And I think the bullpen is going to continue to do this all year. And if they leave Birdsong alone, I think they're set at 1, 2, and 3. And then 4 and 5, we'll see. But you got 3 set in the rotation in a hammer bullpen. You should be winning games. You shouldn't be going 13 and 14 in a month. No way. Padres in town. We don't. What's there to say? You're in a battle with the wild card. You're not in a battle with the Dodgers anymore. And we can hate the Dodgers all they want. And they're coming up in a little while here. But they don't even matter. You don't even really have to talk about them. This is a much more important series to me than the Dodgers series, which is coming up. Atlanta's after them. That's a huge series. You start looking at the teams that you're a wild card contender with. You got to beat San Diego. You got to beat Atlanta coming up. These are the teams that you have to beat. And I'm not saying it'd be nice to take 2 or 3 from the Dodgers or something, but the Padres come in, huge. Diamondbacks, huge. Atlanta's coming in, huge. Those are the teams that you're going to battle with. Those are the teams you got to beat. And those are the teams that are coming up. So the Padres in town. In fact, I've got the pitching matchups here. Pitching matchups. Boom. Look at that. I found that fast. So there you go. Logan Webb tonight. Please, let's have a nice Logan Webb night. Landon Roop, like we just talked about. TBA. And then Nick Pivetta was off to a ridiculous start. Still really solid numbers. But that's a huge start on Wednesday. Oh, I thought it was going to be an afternoon game. Bummer. Oh, that's going to be Thursday. Oh, Thursday is going to be an afternoon game. Gotcha. Again, can Kyle Harrison do what he did on Friday? It's about consistency, right? Everybody, because they're at this level, I tell you this all the time, they can do it every once in a while. Can Kyle Harrison give you consistency? So that's going to be a huge start on Wednesday. Ooh, I might have to go down to that one on Thursday. In fact, that's what I'm going to do. Oh, Thursday. I'm reporting live from the yard on Thursday. I just made that decision. Dylan Cease versus Robbie Ray. Are you insane? Let's go. Cease not having a great year. He had a really good year last year. But Ray versus Cease on Thursday, you can guarantee that we're doing a show live on Thursday from the park. Or they don't let me go into they let me go in the park, but not broadcast from the park. So we'll find a place. We'll find a place on Thursday. We'll be live on location somewhere on Thursday. And then a huge weekend series against Atlanta, because that's another team you're going to be battling with in the wild card. So a 4-game series, massive. Be nice if the Giants could take 3 or 4. Thursday is going to be great. But, I mean, some really good pitching matchups. Tonight's a good one. Thursday's a good one. I don't know who TBA is going to be, but Pivetta versus Harrison's a good one as well. So really good pitching matchups. I'm going to the game on Thursday. There's no question about it. So we got to figure something out. We're going to do live on location on Thursday for the show. I've just decided. Is that it from a baseball standpoint? Any questions, comments, thoughts? Please, let's pray for Brewers losses. They've won 7 in a row. They're not trading anybody. They're not trading Rhys Hoskins. They won 7 in a row. They're like, we're 34 and 28. We're good. We're really good. Let's see here. What else do we got on today? Anything else? By the way, I was out of the Bay, just really, really quick. I was out of the Bay Area this weekend. I was down in Phoenix, and yesterday they had like the thunderstorms. It was really cool. I guess was Saturday just boiling hot. My kid, which my kid never talks to me, but like it was like 103 degrees on Saturday, right? Crazy, craziness. Let's see what else we got there. Anything else? Ooh, there you go. An untouchable. Tim Miller to me. Hi, Tim. To me, Harrison is untouchable. Would have to get a legit all-star slugger with controllable years to even think of dealing Harrison. We'll see. I mean, look, here's the thing on any of these young guys, and I would keep I like both of them. It's not that I don't like Harrison. I do. It's just I like Birdsong over Harrison, and I really like Harrison. The old adage of you got to give something to get something. This offense is painfully bad right now, and we're used to this in the Bay Area. We're used to this offense being kind of this way. But the difference is, to me, is if I'm Buster Posey and I'm looking at this team, I'm going, we have starting pitching to compete in the playoffs. This is good enough. Like a guy like Webb, a guy like Ray with his, being a veteran and those kind of things, he can win. And Birdsong's got good stuff. And if they just don't touch him and they leave him alone, I think he can be a really, really good number three starter right now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, now. So now you're three good starters and you're a hammer bullpen. And you look at four and five, and you're like, okay, four and five are usually kind of up in the air. Now, they could get a solid if Verlander could come back and be solid. I said this at the beginning of the year. I would have looked at him as a four. He is. That's what he is. And now you're looking at this excess of pitching that you have, and they know the pitching clearly a lot more than I do. Is Harrison better than Wisenhunt? Is he better than Ragsdale? Is he better than, you know, any of those guys that are is down in there? What do they think of him? Because I like Kyle Harrison. I really do. He, to me, only has two solid pitches. I like him. I think he might end up in the bullpen. And before you have to make that move, like I said, it's stock trading. Friday night, he had a great outing on Friday night. I'd have put the for sale sign up. That's just me. I'd have put the for sale sign up and said, he's available, because they're right now they're wasting away a great staff. And we know this. Bullpens kind of fluctuate year to year. These same guys, we saw this in 2021. You come back the next year in 2022, basically the same exact bullpen. Sucked. What happened? I don't know. That's what just happens with bullpens from year to year. Now, like Duvall blow up last year, good this year. Ryan Walker hammer last year, this year, right? Bullpens are weird. So you're not going to just take this same bullpen. Now, look, the 10, 12, 14 Giants, that was a veteran bullpen, just boom, boom. But they were a machine. But a lot of times you get these guys, and I don't know, year to year, they just kind of fluctuate, bullpen guys. So you're not going to necessarily get a hammer bullpen every single year. And so with this starting pitching, this bullpen, you don't know what the arm injuries. Like, did you see Corbin Burns yesterday? I guess, have you seen the MRI results? I don't know. But everybody was saying that he thought he blew his elbow out, but then it came back later. Maybe they've avoided something. But you just don't, like, you go from, like, Corbin Burns and all these guys, and you're rolling to, Tommy John surgery, your bullpens, or your staff or whatever, you're pitching, whatever it is. Starters, bullpen, they're gone. Okay, we got to start over. You can't waste it when you have it. And they've got great, great pitching on this team. So I don't want to give up Harrison, and I totally get what you're saying. But if it's Harrison and you can get a bat that can really help you, you've got excess pitching, and it's pretty simple, right? Life works in a pretty simple way. This goes back to, prehistoric times. You've got excess. I have a need. We trade, right? Before even cash came into the equation. I've got all this. You are short. You've got that. I want that. It's a basic trade. That's what's going on with the Giants right now. You have excess pitching. You have a lack of hitting. What should we do? It's not real hard. Anyway, there you go. All right, NBA Finals time. I was wrong. No, I can admit it. I was 100% wrong. The NBA Finals are probably going to enjoy their lowest ratings, maybe of all time. But that's the way it goes. And I thought that the Knicks were going to overcome. They came to within 3-2, but then Indiana blows them out. Indiana was clearly the better team. So even if there was one of my conspiracy theories and the officials could have you know, made a call there, made a call there, here. The Knicks were never close enough, never good enough. Not a good matchup, whatever the case may be. I think Oklahoma City, and I said this last week, and you can go back to some of my, either my shorts or my shows, that Oklahoma City is on the verge of a dynasty. Indiana's a nice team. It's a great story. From a Warriors perspective, maybe the biggest thing that comes out of this as they search for a big in the offseason is, if you're Miles Turner, why would you leave the Eastern Conference champs? Because the Eastern Conference isn't near what the Western Conference is. Boston is going to have Jason Tatum missing how much of the season because of that Achilles. So what are they going to do? Are they going to make a trade to try to stay relevant? What exactly are they going to do with the Tatum injury? So the Celtics aren't going to be nearly as good. The Knicks will probably try to make a big move in the offseason. They seem to be on the verge of something. Indiana's there. Cleveland's really good. Maybe Cleveland learned some lessons. They're a really good regular season team that did not obviously have a good playoff. So what's the deal in Cleveland? I mean, you've got some good teams, but Indiana's been to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, to the NBA Finals this year, and I thought Miles Turner would be a nice fit on the Warriors. He is a free agent at the end of the year, and ultimately it's up to him, and I don't know how happy he is in Indianapolis, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, do I want to stay in Indiana where – and money's a big factor in this whole thing. It's the biggest factor, but if it's a competitive offer to stay in Indiana – he's looking at it going, okay, I could stay with Indiana and probably get back to the NBA Finals. I could go to Golden State, and I've got to get through Oklahoma City. And I said this last week. I think Oklahoma City is going to do what the Warriors did and what Jordan did and what, you know, LeBron did to a certain extent. There are certain players who just – the Spurs. There's a lot of really good players who didn't win championships in their career because they just had bad timing. And if you're playing in the NBA and trying to win a championship when Jordan was there, you weren't going to win a championship because the Bulls took them all and the Warriors took them all and the Spurs took them all and all that kind of stuff. And so Barkley never got one and Carmelo never got one and et cetera on down the line. And right now, if Oklahoma City wins this championship, which I think they will at this point, and no offense to Indiana, but they're just, I see holes all over the place. But you look at Oklahoma City, and the one thing is, and I don't know how to describe this, maybe you do, where you just get a championship swag. And Draymond Green's talked about it before. It's because you have done it and you know what it takes and you're not going to panic because you've been there and done that. It's kind of a human nature thing, right? Like once you've done something or certainly done it for a long time, it becomes second nature to you. You have a lot of confidence in what you do. And so you're like, I'm cool with it. Like, I understand. I know how to do this. And so if Oklahoma City, because the one thing I said about Oklahoma City at the beginning of the playoffs, because last year they kind of did what Cleveland did this year, which is really good regular season team that didn't really know how to win in the playoffs. And I thought the one thing that Oklahoma City might do is take some of that young depth and trade it for a veteran player. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. And it helps you maybe skip a step here or there. But now if they were to win a championship, their general manager, Sam Presti, who presided over the Spurs for a long time and knows what it takes to, you know, to have a dynasty and to extend it as long as they can, is going to sit there and go, well, he's already got a treasure trove of draft picks because of the trades that he made. So they're, not only would they win a championship, they're in a position almost like a rebuilding team where they can, well, they've still got a bunch of picks and things they can do and pick swaps and all this thing. Like, this could get scary for a long time, but the thing that they lack is experience. Well, now they go to the NBA Finals. If they win the NBA Finals, then they have that championship swag about them, and teams will say, well, it's going to be tough to beat them because they know what it takes. And that's exactly right. So they could have injuries. They can make bad moves. They might be able, they might, you know, hey, let's get a veteran, we'll trade a couple of these guys, but they don't have to do that. And it reminds me of the Warriors when they started to win. Now, Durant was a no-brainer. Durant was like, Harrison Barnes not accepting our contract. We can get Kevin Durant. This is a no-brainer. And it made him better for a couple of years. But Oklahoma City's going to look at this thing and go, okay, we don't have to trade for Giannis. We don't have to trade for Durant. We don't have to give up picks and future. We've got it right here, and if we just keep adding to it, this thing's just going to go like this for a long time. So I guess you want to root for Indiana, even though I still think Oklahoma City getting to the finals is that experience, and they know at least how to do that. But if you give them that championship swag, Oklahoma City, I think this thing's going to last a long time, unless they make stupid mistakes. The only way that would not last a long time, injury is obvious, or their general manager just gets too greedy and says, all right, we'll trade some of these picks and trade all these things and trade some of this depth. And we'll try to, you know, get a Giannis. Well, Giannis is 30 and they could get 5-6 years out of it, But I think that if Oklahoma City stays the course and just does what they've been doing, and they've already got their superstar, and he's, what, 26 years old? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's 26. And Jalen Williams is young, and Holmgren is young. And now they just add pieces around those guys constantly. That's going to be a long run. But the bottom line is I was wrong, and there is no conspiracy theory, at least this year. No conspiracy theory this year. So there's that. Let me see if what else do I have here. I know I got something else that I wanted to throw at you guys today. I think that was it as far as that goes. Random things. What did everybody do this weekend, man? Like I said, I was out of town. I got back late last night. The only peeve I have, and this is a stupid one. I even told my wife this last night. You ever get into these situations where you know you're being an asshole and you're being overly sensitive, but you still can't help it anyway? And maybe I am. So I'll tell you this. So I'm on the plane, and it's a late flight. I mean, not too late. I think I got in at like 9 o'clock in Oakland last night. And the way that you exit an aircraft, and it doesn't matter if it's Southwest to get on or Delta or United or whatever the case may be, you might get on the plane a different way, but everybody gets off the plane the same, which is whatever row you are. It's just, you know, that row goes. Like, so when people, I don't know why this is, maybe it's since the pandemic, because in the pandemic, they told you to stay seated and not to clump up like that. But so I'm sitting in row like 20 last night, right? And these guys get up and they jam the row up and they're way from the back and they got all their stuff and everything. And so I just looked at one of them and I just said, hey, man, I go, you know how this works, right? Like every row is going to get off and you'll get off eventually. But I said, when I stand up, you guys are all jammed up here. What the hell, bro? Like, you know, plus I don't want you in my face. Like, you know, why are you standing like right here and your ass is in my face and I'm not really enjoying that. And I got off the plane after the whole thing, and I was like, fine, whatever. But I don't know why that's a peeve of mine. It's like, it's just everybody just sit down and chill, because when the row ahead of you goes, then you go. Then the row ahead of, you know, them goes, then you go. Like, it's just going to take time. And the guy kept checking his watch and everything, and I get it. And they were younger guys. And, like, you get older, and you're like, shit's going to take as long as it's going to take. I mean, it just – that's how you get when you get older. Like, I used to drive, you know, pedal to the metal, race to the next light and all that kind of stuff. Then I realized at some point, it's like, I'm going to see that same person at the next light. I'm going to get there when I'm going to get there. I've learned, especially in the Bay Area, to leave, you know, 15 minutes ahead of where I'm supposed to leave, so I don't get too pissed off about things. I do a breathing in the car, like, because sometimes it would drive, it would just, I've told this story before, but it would drive me crazy. Like, I do a Niners pre-half post. We get there again. We're not digging ditches here. But I'd get there for a 105, 125 game at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And we go on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so we get out of there probably after doing post game, probably get out of there about 8 o'clock. So I've been there 12 hours. No big deal. I'm watching football. It's fine. So I start driving home, and it's, you know, maybe it's 8:30 by the time I get on the road or whatever. And it's a Sunday night, and it's jammed, right? You're stopped. You're stopped on the freeway at 8:30 on a Sunday, and most people that are coming back are coming back from like Santa Cruz or Monterey, and they've had this great weekend, and they're all happy in their car, and I'm just like, I've just been working all day, and I got to go to work tomorrow. So it's like I would do these breathing in my car, like, okay, it's cool, man, just relax, and then I'd be fine. It'd take me a second, but then as I got older, it was like, okay, it's cool, man. It's going to take what it's going to take, right? It's going to take what it's going to take, and everything would be fine. But I even told my wife, I walk off the plane last night, and it was standing there, and I had grabbed her luggage and my luggage, and I went, I don't know why that pisses me off. I'm like, I got to get over it. And she's like, yeah. Like, I got to get over it. To some people, that's just the way they are. They got to pop up, and they got to go, and they're in this big rush. I'm like, dude, we're in row 20. We're in row 20. And there's three seats on each side, right? So that's like 120 people. Math is not my thing. But there's like 120 people that are going to get off this plane. And they're going to take – and they haven't even opened the door yet. And we're looking at like 15 minutes minimum. And these dudes are like jammed up, like, let's go, man, let's go. And I'm like, dude, relax. Just get off the plane in a certain way. That's just what it's like, a caterpillar, man. It's like, now it's our turn. But you're in my way and I can't get my luggage and you're jammed up. So like, go ahead and go. Like, beat me off the plane by a minute. Oh my God, look it. We see each other. We're at luggage. We're at we're at the carousel together. Hello. Good thing you got off that plane so fast. I gotta get over it. That's on me. Even tell my wife, I'm like, hey, get over it, man. Got to go over and get that angry. Yeah, I'm not into – I don't do road rage anymore. And the only time, like I said, Pine, the only time I ever get upset about it is, like I said, on the Sunday night. The Sunday night one gets me because I'm used – like right now, let's see, what time is it? If you're watching later, but it's about 9:15 on Monday, right? So let's say I was – because I drive into KNBR just about every single day. And I never got mad one time. Never, 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 never. Because I had my show prepped already. I knew what I was going to do when I got there. I was talking to my producer the whole time. It was productive time in the car. But I knew when I left my house here in San Ramon, in the East Bay, when I would leave my house here probably an hour, 15, hour and a half, every single time. Every single time. I knew what the drive was going to be. That's a long commute for most people. And, you know, it's not the best and it's not the most productive time. I mean, when I was able to something on Fridays, they'd let me stay home and it was just much more productive, a better show, I thought, but whatever. I didn't mind going in the 4 days a week. I knew what it was going to be. I knew when I got in my car on the way home that getting out of the city was going to be like I said, I knew those things. I wasn't angry, but for some reason, the Sunday night thing, because everybody else was on vacation and jamming up the freeways at like 8:30 on a Sunday. And I thought 8:30 on a Sunday, I should be able to just cruise right home. Right. In most normal places, but the Bay is not normal. And so it was always funny because my mom would always be like, oh, there's such traffic. And she lives in a small town. I'm like, that is not traffic. Like my mom would be going crazy in our traffic. And my wife does give me grief all the time. And I think I've gotten a lot better. But anyway, we know what it takes to get from A to B around here. And it's like, you know what? It's no big deal. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Hello, Brock. Let's do some supers. Remember to 100% get your questions, comments, thoughts on the show. Just hit me up with a super. Brock, I haven't talked in a while, man. Good to see you, Brock 408. You just need to fly private. Boy, that would be nice. I'm trying to think how many times I've flown first class, let alone private in my life. Maybe like handful of times, maybe like five times first class. And that is nice. You do feel nice. You get on the plane first. You get off the plane first. They're giving you cocktails before you even get on. People are looking at you. It's weird when you're in your first class because there's two kind of things. Oh, there's three. There's some people who just don't care, whatever. You're in first class. There's other people who are like, you're an ass. I hate you. You're in first class. And there's others like, man, look at how wide that seat is, how nice that. You know, first class is nice. Actually, you know what? The nicest flight I've ever been on. I've told this story before. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. God, I'm losing it. Was with the Raiders forever. He was a decent defensive tackle, but he was a run stuffer. Guy wore 78, not Art Shell. He was a defensive run stuffer within the last like 10 years. Anyway, I go back. We're flying the flight. I'm not flying anything. But we're flying back from London with the Raiders. This is 2014. He gets smoked by the Dolphins. Dennis Allen gets fired. And I'm walking. So they have the players first, and then they have, like, staff, and then they have, fans and media in the back. And so I'm going back to my spot, I know. And it's nice because you do get on those charter flights like that, you do get a row to yourself. So I was cool with it. I had a row to myself. And you have an assigned seat. And so I go back to my assigned seat and there's a Raiders player sitting in my seat, big defensive tackle. And I look and I'm like, I'm supposed to be in the seat. He's like, yeah. He goes, those ones up front, there's like a bar that goes into my back. It's really not comfortable. I'd like to have my own row. So you can just switch me. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll switch you. And so I go up to the front, which everyone's looking at me like, dude, look at you. You're sure as hell ain't a player. And so I go up and sit up and they have those, the seats now, obviously, where you can put your feet up, and they got the little TV and everything like that. And I'm like, well, that was the greatest thing of all time. But then, of course, that was like that lasted like 5 minutes. We're like, what are you doing up here? I'm like, no, he told me he took my seat and he told me to take his seat. And he's like, nah, he ain't taking this seat. So for a brief period of time, like that would be cool. But no, I don't think I've ever flown private. I definitely haven't flown private. I remember it. I haven't flown private. Well, that'd be cool. That would be very, very cool. What else do we have? Oh, hey, what's up, Fuji? It's good to see you, man. Burns is hurt. Giants avoided that bad news. Yeah, I haven't seen the MRI in that, but last night, and I was on the plane, so, you know, you get the internet and all that kind of stuff. And I think it was John Boy. He does a great job with the lip reading and all that kind of stuff. They were saying that he was saying something like, it's dead, or I blew my arm out, it's dead. But then later reports are saying that it's not that bad. So we'll see today if it hasn't already come out. If it has come out, you guys let me know. But let me check here real quick on Corbin Burns. But it did not look good. It did not look good. And plus he had a velocity drop on his pitches, like a couple of pitches before that. So let me see what it says here. Just left his start. MRI was 5 a.m. Now we wait patiently for news. So, yeah, we haven't seen anything. Let's see. Corbin Burns speaks of injury, described as tightness. He said no popping sensation, MRI at 5 a.m. Yeah, so we should know something. We don't know anything yet on him. It's 9:30. Yeah, okay. So it doesn't say. All right. So we shall see what happens. Let's see. Yeah, I don't see it. Okay. Frank Ragnow's retiring. Center for the Lions. He's a good player. All right. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. I haven't seen anything on Corbin Burns. But, yeah, that's an interesting one. But that's what I was saying about the pitching. That's why you don't waste the pitching, is you just don't know. Like, you're rolling along, you know, Logan Webb. Heaven forbid if Logan Webb were to get hurt and all of a sudden that changes everything. But right now, you have this great pitching. You don't want to waste this great pitching. And I know it's hard to trade. You know, Buster Posey said it's hard to trade this time of year. I get it. And there's so many teams that are in it with this third wild card that it's, you know, it's nearly impossible. You're looking at the worst teams in the league. What do you want, Andrew Vaughn? I mean, Andrew Vaughn's been worse than Lamont Wade Jr. That's hard to do. The former Cal star, you're like, oh, that guy's going to hit. That guy is going to hit. Well, I know he's got an OPS in the fives. That's not good. All right, what else? Yeah, it's just, but you know, again, like I said, I know I sound like a road rage driver, and I'm not. Like, I leave early. I get it. Like, I'm just like, okay, it's like, I know what it's going to be. No way. Let's see, what is this here? you did was critical to give them the verbal smackdown to educate the stupid young men. Yeah, all I was saying to him, and I was being cool about it, but I basically said to them, look, where do you think you're going? Like five of them jumped up from the back of the plane. And again, that's the worst seat in the house, by the way. I have sat in that seat. You know, when you do a flight change and you're on like standby or something and everybody boards the plane and they're like, okay, we got you on. And then you go to the back and you sit in that waft zone in the back of the plane by the bathroom, which is the worst seat, and your seat doesn't go back at all, which I don't bring my seat back anyway, but your seat doesn't go back at all. So you have no choice. And you're right next to the bathroom and you're just like, and every time you see a person walk back, you're like, oh no, no. You know, big person coming back, you're like, oh, that's gonna leave a mark. So they start coming back. That's the worst seat in the house. But what they did was they ran up from that. And there was like five of them, and I'm like, so when I get up and I can't get anyway, I'm bastard. I'm trying to get past that. I'm trying to just be, you know, just try not to do that anymore. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be mad. It's silly. No reason to be that way. Brock says, would you put some money in the Pacers? Oh, absolutely. You know what? God, I should have known this today. You just called me out and you're totally smart to do it. What are the numbers on the Pacers? I would, depending on the number, you know, again, value's value, right? NBA odds, NBA finals odds. God, my spelling today is terrible. Let me see here. I have a certain place I go, if you know what I mean. Let's see what do they got? Is the number big enough? Yeah, I'd put a little number on the Pacers. Why not? It'd be fun. I mean, everybody's got the Thunder winning this whole thing. So yeah, you know what I do too? I'd love the live bet. I'd love the live betting stuff. By the way, live betting. I've made a lot of money. I'll be honest. I've made a lot of money live betting. But let's say Oklahoma City. Here's where you would bet the series. Oklahoma City comes out in game one and blows the doors off Indiana, right? And then the number is going to go huge. And then you go Indiana. They'll probably get a big number out of that. Now they'd have to, you know, obviously you got to win. You know, at that point, four out of six, and that's going to be really difficult to do. But why not? Yeah, who knows? Plus, you know, the one thing I would say about the Pacers is it's not like they're going to walk in there and be intimidated. I mean, they just beat New York, and you know, with everything in MSG, and that series really wasn't close at all. I was just saying that, you know, the conspiracy theory, they're going to put Oklahoma City and Indiana in the finals, and everybody's going to talk about this, and I don't really care. you don't have to watch. Like it makes me a little bit crazy. To like hockey fans are this way, soccer fans are this way. Hey, watch our sport, watch our sport, watch our sport. And it's like, I'd really not want you to watch it. Like, I don't care. Like, if I'm in Oklahoma City or Indiana or any of these places, I don't care what the ratings are. I don't care what the NBA, like, they make money. They're fine. But it'll be low rated, but we'll see. All right, episode 155, the 49ers, the sign. Not that they signed Huff, but the sign that it makes. And plus, we showed you a little bit of video as well and what he's going to be on this team, Bryce Huff. Vegas believes, I just showed you that. Speaking of Vegas, Vegas does believe in the 49ers. And everybody says, oh, they stink, this, that, and the other. Well, if you look at the NFC, they're fifth best odds to win the NFC. And I think they're actually going to be better than the Packers or the Commandos. Rams, I think. So I'd put them like top four based on that. And then I was saying, as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, Eagles, Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Lions, Commanders, Niners there as well. So Vegas, when your money has to be thrown down, and not this yip-yap opinion and not talking head shows on TV and all this kind of stuff, Vegas says, all right, throw out the $1,000 down. They're not going to make long odds on the 49ers. Vegas is like, no, we're not going to expose ourselves when it comes to the 49ers. No thanks. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know. Giants young starters, they are so good from a pitching standpoint, and Warren May, 2.77 ERA, 2.51 ERA for the bullpen, and yet 13-14. We're talking to you, offense. Padres in town, NBA Finals, we got done talking about. Random things happened throughout the show. I didn't put a caboose together for you, and I'm sorry. I'll do two tomorrow. I'll make it up to you tomorrow. I just did two. I didn't do two. Frank Ragnow retires. That's news today. What else do we got today? By the way, Padres 33-24, Giants 33-26. So they're right next to each other. Got to get that going. What else is going on today? I think that's about it, man. I think that's about it today. All right. Yeah, I think that's about it. Things will happen throughout the day, though. Make sure that you have those alerts on. Please, please, please have those alerts on. Make sure you hit us a like before you get out of here today as well. That would be absolutely amazing if you do that. Please tell all your friends and enemies to subscribe. That would be tremendous as well. Thanks for watching on X and Instagram today at John Lund Radio. Make sure you hit us up, Bay Area Sports Collective. Polymac, Creative Tony, Polymac's Particles, they'll be on at 11 o'clock today. Tom Tolbert, check your local listings. Amy G, Rod Brooks, Jeremy Affelt. We added all of those to the Bay Area Sports Collective. Make sure you hit up on my friend, my good friend, Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. Remember, my wife is doing the stem cell treatments. He was one of the first in California to do that. You will feel better. Hit that QR code right there, and you can get that appointment. That'll take you straight to the website. Straight to the website. He does so many other procedures as well. I do the low T through Dr. Riopel. Awesome. Quick blood test. And then every about 4 months, you get it done, and you feel great. So check him out. If you can't hit that QR code, look him up. Use your favorite search engine, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, and they do all sorts of great procedures for men, women, everybody. So make sure you hit him up, and he'll treat you extra special if you go, hey, Lund sent me over. What do you got for me? He'll treat you great. So make sure that you talk to Jeffrey Riopelle, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. What else do we got today? Let's see. Yep, we said subscribe. We said like. We said keep those alerts on because we will send a bunch of stuff out today. Oh, for everything Unleashed. JohnLundUnleashed.com. And I got to get a couple of blog postings up, but we always put the show there. So the YouTube shows are there. The podcast is there. Merchandise is there. All the social media links and stuff like that. So go to JohnLundUnleashed.com. Anything else today? Let me double check on everybody. Make sure everybody is cool. Thanks today for supers from Fuji. Burns is hurt. Thanks to Vrock. It's great to see you, my friend. I wish I could fly private, man. I need to fly private. And yeah, I put some money on the Pacers. Why not? Especially after game one. If they get blown out, because I just like the big odds. I want to go big. But then again, I lose a lot. All right, there you go. Thanks as always to everybody for hanging out today. We will be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, for a Tuesday edition of the show. I got a couple other things I'm going to send out today, so make sure you have those alerts on, and you will get more stuff from me today. Happy Monday. I hope you get it through it just fine. Don't road rage. Don't get angry. Relax, whatever it takes to relax. I will not road rage anymore. I've had it, man. Anything else? Let me double check. Got in late. That's all right, man. It's good. It's better late than never. Chris is here today. Good to see you, man. Dom, it is great to see you, my friend. I don't know if I said good morning to you. Make sure we say good morning to everybody. Shrimp boy. Very cool, man. Good to see everybody in the house today. All right. Everybody have a tremendous Monday. I will speak to you later. Remember, if there's breaking news, we jump on for that as well. We'll talk to you a little bit later. Have a great rest of your Monday.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!